We thank you for joining with us today, and we do pray that we'll know a real sense of the Lord's presence as we open his word and preach upon it today. We invite you to take your Bibles and to turn to the book of Psalms, and we want to turn to Psalm 1, the first psalm in this songbook of Israel, and we want to read these verses together, commencing at verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to meet afresh around thy word. We pray for God's people that you'll bless them and encourage them in these days. May there be a word in season that will help us to live lives that bring glory to Christ. Pray for those cold at heart, Lord, you'll restore them today. And we also pray for those that are not yet saved, that today they will see what the true meaning of life is and come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners. I pray, Lord, you'll empty me of self and fill me with thy Spirit. Give me help today to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy precious and thy worthy name. These things we ask in his precious name, for his glory alone. Amen and amen. This psalm is speaking about being blessed. And the word blessed means happiness. It really is a plural word, and therefore it means happinesses. And you can see that it's speaking about someone who is content, joyful, happy, and blessed. Everyone is searching for blessing in life, for happiness and contentment. There is a pursuit for reaching that point in living where you feel that you've made it. Some suppose it will be in a particular job or a place of employment. For others, it will be having a family or having the right amount of finances in the bank. Perhaps for others, it's travelling around this world when you're able to do that and enjoying the many experiences that life had to offer. But no matter what you achieve or gain, or gather throughout your life, it will never be enough to bring true happiness. True joy, true contentment or peace does not come from things. There will always be a desire for more of the same. One of the Bible commentators made a statement about man's happiness. He said, God made man for happiness. Every human man feels a desire to be happy. All humans abhor being miserable. Happiness is the grand object of pursuit among all men. But so perverted is the human heart that it seeks happiness where it cannot be found, and in things which are naturally and morally unfit to communicate it. The true way of obtaining happiness is laid down in Psalm 1. Now the Bible tells us that there is a place where a man is able to experience true blessing that fully satisfies. It's when he knows the burden and the guilt of sin lifted, cleansed away by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when he begins to live as a spiritual being, living for those things that the world cannot offer, living for heaven, living for the glory of God. Those who are saved and serving their Lord are truly satisfied in him. Oh yes, we may desire more zeal, or we may desire more holiness or more fruit in our labours, but taking a view of our standing in Christ and our position in eternity, we can truly say we are blessed, we are content in him. This psalm teaches very clearly what it means for the child of God to know God's peace, the closeness of his presence, and the reality of his power in our service and in our lives. Notice it says, blessed is the man. The word spoken of here, man, is a word that's inclusive of all types of people. It doesn't say blessed is the minister or blessed is the Sunday school teacher or the missionary, although they're all included in this word. But it is speaking of the whosoever that are saved and obedient to the word of God. So therefore, this word includes those who are rich or poor, the master or the servant, the academic or the athlete, the child, the school pupil, the teenager, the young parents, the middle-aged, the senior citizens. All are able to know God's blessing. God's blessing is God's peace, God's power, and God's presence. It's possible for you to walk in the paths of blessing today, to enjoy your standing in Christ and to be satisfied in Him. This psalm presents to us a description of the godly man. And I want us to take a few moments this morning to think of some of these thoughts on the theme of the godly man. Firstly, in verse 1, we see the wisdom of the godly man. If you're to know God's blessing and enjoy his salvation, there are certain things that you cannot do as a child of God. And they're presented to us here in verse number 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These are three actions, dear Christian, you must not participate in. This is wisdom in your walk with the Lord. We are not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the word walk in Scripture is used figuratively of life. It denotes a way of life, a journeying through life. Now, the word counsel means to give advice. So, we're not to walk in the advice of the ungodly. Now, this is someone who is condemned, guilty, or wicked. Someone who is morally wrong. It speaks of someone who's not saved. They may have good intentions, but they do not have the correct focus and source that makes it possible for them to be profitable and encourage believers to walk in a godly manner. The message is very clear. The child of God is not to live their lives according to the counsel of the unsaved of this world. Oh yes, the world has much advice on how to live your life and how to face difficulty that life has to offer. But nowhere will you find in the world a book that has been written by someone out of this world that tells you how to live your life according to the word of God, or tells you how to deal with the problem of sin. There's only one book that does that, and that is indeed the Bible. That's the only book that tells you how to be right with God and how to live in a manner that pleases and glorifies God. The world, and when we speak of the world, we mean its system, its purposes, its plans. They are not towards God. They do not seek to encourage the child of God to walk with the Lord. And therefore, it is not for the Christian to seek their counsel or advice in this world. We are not to live by the standards of the world. One Bible commentator said, the godly man does not follow the advice of sinners. He does not execute the purposes or plans of sinners. He does not frame his life according to their views and their suggestions. Oh, there's many things that are happening in the world today, many voices telling us how we ought to live. But our counsel ought not come from the ungodly or from the world, but it ought to come from the Bible. Secondly, it says we are not to stand in the way of sinners. Now, the word stand, it has the idea of abiding or continuing or remaining. And therefore, we are not to remain or continue in the way or the road of the sinner. And here's a further thought. Instead of listening to the counsel of the ungodly and taking their advice at times when we journey through life, we are now led to consider a man who is standing in the way of sinners. The thought here has the desire to be found in their way. This person that is spoken of here, the person who would be standing in the way of sinners, is someone who wants to be associated with these sinners, to dwell with them, to live their life after their manner. But the friend of God cannot be the friend of the world. Remember what this verse is teaching. Blessed is a man who does not do these things. He is not to walk in the counsel of the godly, he's not to stand in the way of sinners, he is not to sit in the seat of the scornful. And that word sit down, it is a word which means by implication to dwell continually. In fact, it can also be translated to marry. And therefore you get the sense of this word. You're not to spend time sitting in the seat or dwelling in the place of the scornful. Now the word scornful, it means someone who scoffs, someone who makes a mockery of. And therefore, we believe that Scripture is teaching in this instance, we are not to spend a large amount of times in the homes of people who mock the things of God, in the presence of people who mock the things of God. Otherwise, we will become like those people. If you want to know what you're going to be like in 5 years' time, look at the people whom you closely associate yourselves with now. Do you notice in this verse there is a slowing down and there is a gradual decline from the man who starts to take his counsel from the world? Yes, he is starting to walk and then he stands and then he sits. And the Scripture does not ask us to stop in our progress with God, but it compels the people of God to go forward, to make progress. Philippians 3 verse 13 and 14, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 12 and 1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And therefore, whenever someone starts to walk in the ways of the world, it's not very long before they're no longer progressing in their walk with the Lord. And we need to be careful that we are not listening to the advice and the dictates and the standards of the world, that we are not sitting in the company of ungodly people, and we're not spending large amount of time in the company of those who mock and ridicule the things of God. You see, we find when our eyes are taken off the Lord and off the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, then we will be found walking and standing and then sitting in the wisdom and in the ways and in the practices of the world. We see that there is a downward spiral in the walk with the Lord. There's a downward spiral in his actions, but there's also, interestingly, a downward trend in the types of people that he follows in his lifestyle. He first takes advice from the unsaved, and then secondly from those who are openly sinful, and then thirdly from those who are actually mocking and ridiculing the very Lord who has died on the cross to save. And the implication here is that he's passive and says nothing in the defence of the Saviour. How sad when a believer allows the name of the Lord to be mocked and taken and beaten. How sad whenever a believer sits among people who curse and swear about the things of the Lord. It reminds me of the story of Peter. We read of Peter, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus. He was a fiery man. He certainly made great claims and wanted to obey the Lord and wanted to show himself as a true follower of the Lord. But whenever the Lord Jesus Christ is arrested, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22 and verse number 54, we read these words, Luke 22, 54, and they took him and they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read these words, and Peter followed afar off. And Peter followed afar off. Not only did he do that, we say, and then when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. Peter sat down among those who were delighting in the Lord's arrest and in the trial that was taking place. Whenever the people started to talk around the fire, some of them recognized by his accent that he was from Galilee and that he was one of those who were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in Mark chapter 14 and verse 69. And the maids saw him again and began to say unto them that stood by, this is one of them. He's one of them. He's one of the followers of Christ. And he denied it again. And a little while after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And what is interesting there is it's not long before Peter's speech is the same as those among whom he is sitting. He's followed the Lord afar off. He has sat down among the ungodly. And now his speech is filled with cursing and swearing and in denial of being a disciple. How quickly one sin leads to another and causes a man or woman of God to be found in open rebellion to God. And this is why we are to be wise. And this is why we are to follow the counsel of God. This is why we are to watch the little things in our lives where sin can get a foothold and develop. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. And you will find that a believer often does not engage in some major outward sin all of a sudden. But that has started to work in his heart and in his mind. He's not fully following the Lord. He's not walking closely with his Saviour. He's not in the Bible. He's not praying. And the thought has developed into a desire, and the desire has overcome him, and he has given in to that sin or that temptation. You see, the Lord calls us not to walk with those that will influence us in things that are wrong. But rather, the Word of God tells us to walk with people and with good and godly friends, those who are his people, those who are saved by his grace, those who love their Saviour. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You spend time with godly people, you will become more godly. Proverbs 13 verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And if you walk with wise men, then, and you're in that company, that will be a blessing to you. That will also be found in your life. We become like those with whom we associate. And therefore, the Lord in this passage points us to a wise and a true and a faithful, godly and holy friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because we come now to the purpose of the godly man. And it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And whenever you come to the Word of God, and you're spending time in the Word of God, then you're spending time with the Lord. The Bible is God's revelation of himself to man. There's essentially one theme in Scripture, and one person of importance in Scripture, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, someone who is meditating and delighting in the Word will continually be seeing Christ and walking with him. And as we walk with him, we will become like him. The Word of God will be a pleasure to those who walk in a godly manner. It will be a comfort. It will be an encouragement. It will be a source of rich treasure from which to pull promises to plead before the throne of God. But you will find for those who are walking in the counsel of the ungodly that the Word of God is something that's hard for them, because when they read the Word of God, the Lord puts his finger upon the thing that is wrong in their life. The sin and the waywardness is highlighted. And therefore, when someone goes astray, you'll find they will not often come to the Word of God because they know they will be convicted of their sin. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Man glorifies God whenever he reflects God in his life. Man glorifies God when something of Christ is seen within the believer, when the believer walks in obedience to the Lord, in paths of righteousness, then he or she brings glory to the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You might be saved 1 week, or 1 month, or even 50 years. But today, your life can bring glory to the Lord when you walk in obedience to his word. You don't have to wait for a long period of time before you start shining for the Lord or being a testimony. When does a candle start to shine forth its light? Whenever it is lit. Immediately, that candle sends forth its light. And so too, once we are saved, we ought to be giving a light into this world, a testimony of faithful love for the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his word. Note the frequency of the scriptures. It says, he doth meditate in his law day and night. In other words, man will think on the word of God day and night, daily. There's no time when it's not appropriate to think of scriptural things, at work, at home, on vacation, in public and in private. This will be his rule of faith and direction. And such behaviour brings much blessing. And that's revealed for us in verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And here we see the evidences of the godly man. We see there is stability in his life. Like that tree with the deep roots and the constant supply of life-giving water. Whenever those roots are deep down into the earth and they're nourished by the water, when the winds of adversity blow, that tree will not be moved. Oh yes, it may sway a little bit in the wind, but it will not be moved because its roots are grounded. There's great stability in walking in the ways of the Lord. In Jeremiah 17, verse 7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and ye shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We all face the winds of trouble and sorrow. Winds of false doctrine will even blow from time to time, and as false teachers may come into our midst and come into our presence, and yet those who are strong in Christ will know exactly what this is. It will be highlighted because they know the word of God well, and they know that what's being taught is wrong, and therefore, praise God, they will not be moved. They are fixed upon the word of God. In times of trouble, we can go to the word of God, and we know that the Lord's in control of it all. In times of sorrow, we know that he takes our tears and he keeps them in his bottle. We know that he is interested in us. He cares for us. He loves us. He sympathizes with us. And therefore, there's great stability when the difficulties of life come, that we are rooted in Christ. But not only is there stability in this image of the tree, but there's also fruitfulness. He shall bring forth fruit. What he does shall prosper. God made us to be a fruitful people. We know that the picture is given in Scripture of the fruitful vine. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And here we find that the Lord is emphasizing the truth that there can be great fruitfulness in your life as you walk with him, but without him, you can do nothing. You can't produce fruit in your life. What fruits are we to bring forth? Well, I believe that the Lord expects the fruit of the Spirit. In fact, I believe that the fruit of the Spirit will be seen in our lives as we walk with him. I believe also that we can look for fruit in soul winning, that souls would be saved through our testimony, through our prayers, through our witness. Every believer should be seeking the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. We should be praying that these would be evidenced and that the Lord will cause them to develop and cause them to grow in our lives in a wonderful manner. Every believer ought to be involved in the work of God. They can be involved. Even the littlest child who's saved by the grace of God can pray for souls to be saved. Every person watching this morning who's a Christian can pray that people would tune into broadcasts such as these and hear the word of God being preached. Many can invite others to the house of God when it's open, when we're able to do that. And what the Lord wants you to do is to bring forth fruit in your life, to do what is for his glory. The Bible talks here about prosperity. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So there's stability, there's fruitfulness, and there's prosperity. And a man who is bringing forth spiritual fruit will be able to enter eternity bringing that fruit with him, bringing his sheaves with him. Things that are done in Jesus' name are eternal things. They will be rewarded by the Lord. An ungodly man can amass a fortune of billions and lose his soul in hell. And yet, a Christian can give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and know an eternal reward. Who is greater in the eyes of the world? A billionaire who is so much, or a humble Christian? Whose work will last for eternity? Who will know true prosperity? Who is truly living? The evidences of a godly man. Is there stability in your life as you walk with the Lord? Is there fruitfulness? Is there prosperity? Are you storing up treasures in heaven? Are you living for the Lord? And then we see one more thing in connection with the godly man, and it's the contrast with the godly man. He's contrasted with the ungodly, and they're contrasted in three different ways. They're contrasted, first of all, in their lives. Look at verse number 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Instead of the stability of the deeply rooted tree, there is the instability of the chaff. It's thrown up into the wind along with the grain, and the chaff blows away just like dust. Instead of fruitfulness, there's emptiness, nothing to offer God at the end of their life. Instead of prosperity, there's loss, because all they have amassed will be left behind when they are called into eternity. You see, life is only worth living because Jesus lives. Life is truly worth living because I am his and he is mine. And therefore, there's such a contrast here in the life of the godly and the ungodly. Whenever those storms come, they have nothing to hold on to. They have no solid rock. They have no deep-rooted faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But praise God for the truth that the believer has these things today. Not only is their life contrasted in their existence in this world, but it's also contrasted in the judgment that will follow. Because it says in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The greatest wind that will ever blow will be the wind of the judgment of God. The Bible says that the ungodly shall not stand. You see, there's going to be a great division on that day. And that division is between the ungodly and the godly, the unsaved and the saved. It's not a division that is made by man. And we have many divisions in our world today. But it's a division between the saved and the lost. God will have the final say. And God will make that division. And for those who are saved, they will be welcomed into glory. For those who are out of Christ, they will be cast into hell. And you know, not only do we have to experience life, human life in this world, not only do we all have to stand at the judgment of God, but we all have to go into eternity. And this is one of the most precious verses in Scripture. I believe that this verse, Psalm 1, verse 6, really is a summary of Scripture. It says, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here we have the division. Here we have the two types of people, those who are righteous. Now, who is truly righteous? None of us are righteous because we're all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But praise God, when he died on the cross of Calvary, he bore our sins and his body on the tree, shedding his precious blood that he might cleanse us from our sin and give to us his righteousness. Thy blood, thy righteousness. That is what the Christian is depending on, the blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way of the righteous is known by the Lord. It's known, yes, in time. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He knows us in every circumstance. He knows his people. He knows their needs. God's knowledge of us is not just a knowing what will happen. But dear believer, remember, God's knowledge of you is making provision for every need that you have. For every circumstance in life you face, there will be needed grace. And that ought to thrill the heart of the child of God this morning. The Lord knows all about us. He knows the end from the beginning. He has provided for every step of life's journey. Are you anxious about what 2021 holds? What the rest of this year has in store? You have no call to be, because the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knows your path today. But look at that final statement, the way of the ungodly shall perish. And whenever a person dies outside of Christ, then they go to that awful place called hell. Oh, the fires of hell are not quenched. The thirst is never relieved. The darkness is never penetrated. And hope is never found. There will never be an annihilation of the soul. The souls that have lived for thousands of years ago are still in hell today. And should you pass a time period of 1,000,000 years, they will still be there, and so will you if you die without a Saviour. Oh, there's a prosperous way to live. There's a good way to live. There's a right way to live. There's Christ's way to live, and that is by trusting in him for salvation. I wonder what way you're walking today. I wonder which category you're in. Are you blessed or are you lost? Are you saved or are you out of Christ without a Saviour? As I thought about that, I want to encourage God's people afresh this morning. Some verses I just want to leave before you. And as we go into another week in the will of the Lord, we do want the Lord's guidance. And here are a few verses that you could take a note of this morning. And you could use these as promises to claim in the place of prayer that the Lord will guide you. Psalm 107 verse 7. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Psalm 23 verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Isaiah 58 verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And then finally Psalm 48 and verse number 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide, even unto death. There's not one moment of life's experience, and even as we enter into death, but the Lord will be there to guide us and bring us safely through to our home in heaven. I trust that this is your testimony today. I trust that you're the blessed man, the blessed woman, the blessed young person of Psalm 1. Take what the Lord says, apply these principles to your life, and know great joy, stability, fruitfulness, prosperity, and blessing in the things of God. And if you're not saved today, I want you to consider seriously your end. Your end. The word of God says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. The road you're traveling, dear sinner, leads to hell. But praise God, there's a Saviour who saves from sin and from hell. And I implore you to come to him today. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I know I deserve hell and my sin separates me from thee. But I pray, Lord, that you will come into my life. I pray you'll cleanse me in your precious blood. I pray, O Lord, that you'll save me and make me your child. And give me grace to live the life of the blessed man, to live a life that brings glory to thee. Oh, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not call on him? Just a simple prayer like that one I spoke before you. Oh, what would it be this morning if some dear sinner came and trusted Christ as her Saviour? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to open the Word of God. We thank thee for this wonderful passage that so clearly presents to us the two ways of life, the way of the Christian, the way of the sinner. And I pray if there's one watching today that's not saved, that today you will cause them to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to turn away from their sin and repentance and to receive the gift of eternal life. I pray, Lord, that many precious souls over these incoming days and weeks will be saved through the ministry of thy word. And we do pray for God's people that you'll give us wisdom to choose the right way and give us wisdom to follow the Lord and give us wisdom to be in the Bible. Give us wisdom, Lord, to be careful with our friendships and with whom we listen to for advice and counsel in this world. Thank thee for the one who leads us and guides us. He will be our guide even unto death. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing to fear because thou wilt bring us safely through. Bless us now, we pray, for the rest of this day. What has been of man, let it fall to the ground and perish. What has been of God, let it prosper in the hearts of those who've listened. Bless us, we pray, and abide with us, even as we conclude this broadcast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.